An amazing bit of airline news this morning. Yemeni officials say that a toddler has apparently survived the crash of a Yemeni Airbus 310 that crashed off the Comoros Islands in the Indian Ocean. 153 people were killed. The Yemeni Civil Aviation Deputy Chief Mohammed Abdul Qadir says the majority of the passengers were from those islands. More on that later this morning. But it's been about 30 days since Air France Flight 447 crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, and all that time, a clock has been ticking. The flight recorders and data recorders have been pinging their location from somewhere undersea. They've got power for about a month, and when they stop sending out signals, what is the chance that the mystery of that crash will ever be solved? Joining us now is Todd Curtis to talk about the importance of these recorders in reconstructing the final seconds of a devastating accident. He's an aviation safety analyst, director of the AirSafe.com Foundation, and a former air safety engineer for the Boeing Corporation. We should point out that this was an Airbus flight 447 that crashed. Todd Curtis, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's talk first of all about what we know at this point. The amount of wreckage that's been recovered and the number of bodies that have been recovered is pretty low. And so that's a small number of data points to try to extrapolate what happened here, correct?
That's correct.
And when we do look at things like wreckage and bodies, there are questions that are pretty important, such as, was there a depressurization, which would indicate something maybe happened at a high altitude? Were the pieces of the fuselage exploded, or did they clearly come apart as a result of an impact? Those kinds of things you can look at, correct?
Absolutely, especially given the fact that we have about 50 bodies or portions of bodies that have been recovered, and there have been some preliminary results about the kind of trauma those bodies experienced.
And so the recorders are really important in this particular instance, and explain what kinds of information could they have that would make sense of what details there are in the wreckage already.
Well, there are two kinds of data in the two flight recorders. The voice recorder, which records communications within the cockpit and between the cockpit and the outside world, would obviously give an indication in the last 30 minutes to 2 hours, depending on the recorder, of what was going on in the cockpit, what sort of emergencies or situations were happening that would not be recorded by the flight data recorder, which records things like the aircraft position, speed, condition of various systems within the aircraft. A combination of those two, that is the pilot's commentary and the information from the systems on the aircraft, are usually quite enough to figure out what went on.
So the question really this morning is, as the pinging, we presume, will be stopping any moment now of these two recorders at the bottom of the Atlantic, particularly when you're talking about a crash oversea, are we way too dependent on these flight recorders for the forensic evidence of what happened in a crash like this? And maybe there needs to be another program or another sort of recovery protocol for something oversea.
Well, this incident actually showed an example of what may be an alternative to the traditional black box. As many of you know, there were some maintenance messages that were transmitted from the aircraft back to Air France headquarters, which gave a general indication of what was going on in the aircraft. But more to the point, this indicates that we have in place a fairly substantial system for automatic communication from the aircraft to the ground. Now, what we don't have is an internationally accepted protocol for what ways can we do this transmission and do it in a secure fashion so that an alternative to the black box information could actually be transmitted in real time, continuously, by aircraft flying around the world.
So let me just sort of deconstruct what you're saying there, and I think it's pretty important. We have the capability right now for any flight to transmit to a satellite or even a ground station all of the same information that's in the recorders and just retrieve it at the point of, when we need it to reconstruct what happened during an accident.
That's correct. We have the capability, but what we don't have is a thorough understanding of what the requirements would be to make this both reliable, accurate, and useful. And a will on the part of the aviation community to actually move toward a system that may incorporate this as well as black boxes, or even, more radically, replacing the black box system with something that continuously transmits information.
What's the chance that we'll ever find these recorders on the bottom of the sea?
Actually, the chance is quite good. There have been several events over the years where the aircraft either crashed or had a severe problem over a deep part of the ocean, and crews were able to salvage the aircraft or the black boxes later on. Some of you may remember about 20 years ago, there was a United airliner coming out of Honolulu that had a serious decompression event. A cargo door blew off, and the aircraft returned to Honolulu. the Navy went out into the ocean, into the Pacific, and found this single cargo door,
wow.
which didn't have any locator beacons, which didn't have anything on it to radio its location. They found this door several thousand feet under the water.
Any speculation on what caused this crash based on what we know? And you're an expert here.
Well, the two main pieces of information we have are the maintenance messages that were transmitted back to Air France, which were very general. They were not specific to a time in the flight. It was more or less a heads-up sort of indication that seemed to show that there was both a major electrical problem and a depressurization situation going on.
Hmm.
We also have the debris and the bodies that have been recovered. And the way the debris was spread on the ocean and the condition of that debris is more consistent with an in-flight breakup as opposed to the aircraft hitting the ocean in one piece.
Which raises some very disturbing scenarios, which we won't speculate on at this point. But thanks so much for giving us that context in a very incomplete puzzle that we're trying to piece together what happened to Flight 447. Todd Curtis is an aviation safety analyst and director of the AirSafe.com Foundation and a former air safety engineer for the Boeing Corporation. He joined us from Seattle. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.